Good evening, everyone, and across the world, I'm sure for some of you it's morning and afternoon and the middle of the night. So love bless you all, and I wanted to come on for just a little while and talk about a few more things that I had on my mind and things that are opening to us. And last week we went into a little bit of what we're presently in, and not so much going back through the past or patterns or anything like that, but I wanted to talk quite a bit on our present day and what is happening. And I'll give everybody just a few minutes to come on while I talk just a little bit. I have been looking at some things and reading some things, and some of our Zoom meetings have been excellent. And with Brother Felix Longho there in the Philippines, and those are his time. It's Saturday morning at 9 a.m. It's 9 p.m. here in Eastern time zone. So if you can get on there, you are certainly welcome to. I'm kind of waiting because people are going in and out here and getting ready to sit down. Of course, the house dogs, they got a bark and carry on. But we are looking at quite a few things that are a little different than normal. In the last Zoom meeting, I brought just a little bit of it out, and I said, you know, I don't like to go into things too far without having a kind of at least a thought or a sure foot, you might say. But at the same time, I don't want to wait so long that we say, well, you know, that's already done. It's already over, and here we are trying to catch up with what the Spirit is doing. So I want to talk just a little bit I wrote this down, and it is a freedom walk through time, or physical and spiritual energy, a freedom walk through physical and spiritual energy, or you could call it a freedom walk through time. We know that time is not... It's going to never go away, because we are going to continually measure things. And when you measure things, you have to pick a certain spot in eternity and then pick another certain spot in eternity. And then when you do that, it begins to be called time. It's the beginning and the end of something. And when we do that, it's not that you left eternity. You don't ever leave eternity. But it is that you picked out a small space of time in eternity. Like Paul said in one place, he said, we'd be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And I see a lot of people bringing that up. But to me, it's very clear. They're trying to say it's, you know, we're going to change in a second, and in a twinkling of an eye, we'll be zap and be gone out of here. Well, if you just look those words up, just look up what Paul wrote, and he says we'll be changed in a moment. Well, the word moment means a space of time. It doesn't mean 1 second. Paul didn't have a watch on his arm, and they didn't have clocks everywhere. It means a space of time. So we'll be changed in a space of time. And then it says, in the twinkling of an eye. And everybody says, there you go, Brother Parnell. That's less than a second. Well, if you understand what an eye is, and Paul wrote about eyes, and John wrote about eyes, an eye is a prophet. So what makes the eye twinkle? If you got a prophet in the land and he catches a revelation, then that's a twinkling, or that's a prophet receiving light. It said that we would be changed in a space of a time by a prophet receiving the light. And that's exactly what's happening to us. We have been going through a space of time wherein we are being changed, and we are changed, and we'll change more. And then it all happens through the Spirit touching people's hearts, prophets and apostles and so forth. And they bring the light. And when they bring the light, that's the twinkling of the eye. So it's I wanted to talk about this, a freedom walk through physical and spiritual energy, or a freedom walk through time. And, you know, Jacob, he laid down to take a nap, and and he dreamed, and he saw the heavens open, and he saw a ladder extended from heaven to the earth, and he saw angels ascending and descending on that ladder. And Jacob saw these things happening, and he woke up that morning and he said, I did not know the Spirit of the Lord was in this place. And he said, this is the Spirit of the Lord. And he named the place Peniel. And if you just, I know everything's symbolic and everything's written symbolic, and Moses certainly had all the understanding of the world of the anatomy of a human being. All you got to do is read these four or five books. So the pineal gland is in the, it's actually your third eye. It's in your forehead. And that gland, when it begins to open up, you begin to see heaven and earth coming together. You begin to see the unity that we are seeing today. So this ladder, I kind of look at it and I say to myself, it's a ladder of vibration. It's a ladder of frequency. It's a ladder of speed. As we move through the vibrations, and you move to one end of the vibrations, as slow as a vibration can possibly be, then you move to the other end of a vibration, which is faster than the speed of light. And you have this, all of these frequencies in between. And this ladder that Jacob saw, he's seen people, angels, ascending and descending. So he's seen, I'll put it like this. Matter, we all walk down the ladder of speed. We all walk down that ladder of vibration. We all have done it. We've came into the earth. Anybody that's walking in the earth descended on that ladder. And it's a ladder of speed. And it's a ladder that takes us, it lowers us to the very lowest frequency, or the very lowest speed that there is. And that's where matter, that's where energy begins to become so dense that it turns to matter. Science will tell you that immediately. That's what they do, is they can take energy and change it into matter, and all they have to do that is keep slowing the frequency and the vibration down, and it will change into some very dense matter that you can look at. So this ladder was people who were coming out of the mind of Christ, out of the theophany, out of heaven, whatever you want to call it. They were coming out of heaven, and as they came down the ladder, they were slowing down until they got to the very lowest of vibration, the very lowest of frequency. And there, you took on matter. You became that little baby that come out of mama's womb, and you took on that matter. And we enter as matter into the earth. And when we enter as matter, then what happens? You know, it it's so slow. I would say from third, an average, some people more or less, but an average would be from 30 down to 1 year old, or from one up to 30 years old. Everything seems so slow. You're having to, you know, the days, they go, they're so long, and they go by, and you're waiting to get out of your diaper, and then you're waiting to be able to go out and play, and then you're waiting till the end of school, and you can't wait till May of each year because you're going to get out of school. You can't wait for summer, and you can't wait for your license, and you can't wait to graduate, and everything is just so slow in the process. And so then it seems like, and that's people descending into the ladder of frequency and vibration and going to the slowest and the lowest points. And then somewhere around 30 to 40 years old, things begin to change. And it seems like it takes forever, the first 30 years, and the matter personally begins to speed up in people's lives. You begin to, after that, about that 30 years, things begin to speed up. Things begin to move to a different frequency and vibration. Your mind begins to speed up. You begin to put on all these, all this understanding and everything else. And what's happening is that very matter that you came off of that ladder in, and it became very slow, and you went through long processes. Now it's to a point, what's it doing? It's getting ready to ascend, go back up on the ladder in frequency. And so what we are doing is everyone's waiting on, I can't wait till this happens. Well, it's happening every day to everybody and to everyone and to every individual that they slowed down coming here. They put on flesh, they put on matter. They wear it that first 30 years wishing things would speed up and wanting the days to speed up. And then when you break that veil and step on the other side and you're going from 30 or 40 up to 70 or 80, man, things are just flying by. And where did these grandchildren come from? And man, my kids are already out of school and I've got grandchildren. And now I got great grandchildren. And it just seems like yesterday that I was wishing that these days would speed up. And now I'm wishing these days would slow down. What's going on? It is a spiritual mind that slows itself down through that first part of life. And then it begins to speed itself up because it knows that it wants to leave that mix of matter that you are in. And it may push it out to 70 or 80 or 90 or 100, whatever it might be. But slow but sure, you're going to disappear from that matter. Now, that matter may lay down in front of people, and it may lay there for 2 or 3 weeks before it begins to decay, but you disappeared the very moment that happened. You disappeared. You're in another realm. You're in a faster place, and that matter that you left just goes back to the earth and becomes energy again. So that's what I see is happening in our physical lives, and we want things to happen quickly, and then we want things to happen slowly. And physically, we want a body change. Physically, we want a rapture. Physically, we want a millennium. Physically, we want all of these things. We want good health. We want strength. We want all these things physically, and that's fine. But we need to understand that these things are being poured on us physically all of our life. And a physical body is energy. It's just energy that has slowed down. And then if we understand this, that he that ascended first descended, okay, that's you and I, and we descended from somewhere, and when we descended into a physical. We were in a spiritual, we descended into a physical. We were in theophany, we descended into a flesh body. I'm going off, but the physical itself, when you descend, it's matter. It's what it is. But it's energy. And we try to make them two different things. We try to say, well, our spirit is energy and our earth is matter. And it's two different things. No, it's not. It's the same thing. It's the same spirit. The spirit you have in you is the spirit that is slowed some of it down to wear parts of flesh and live in this realm, in this frequency for a season. So there can't be a physical without a spiritual first. Now, sometimes that's hard to understand because Paul makes a statement, that which is natural is first, and that which is spiritual is second. So we say, well, there it is, Brother Parnell, natural, we come into flesh and then we become spiritual. And if you want to run that line, you can, but if you understand what Paul was saying, just go. I just went over and started reading what Paul meant when it comes to natural and spiritual. And Paul said that we come here as bare grain in the natural. And he said, then we grow into a body that pleases the Lord, or that pleases us to dwell in. The same ways that I'm pleased to dwell in Christ, the Lord becomes pleased to dwell in you. And so this natural that is first, and then that which is spiritual, the natural is the theophany. Millions of times, Brother Branham talked about the seed coming into you, that seed being in you, that seed breaking open in you, that seed bringing forth new life in you. That seed is the natural bare grain that had no, all it had was logic, it had no experience, and it had to slow down, come down the ladder, put on flesh, wear flesh, slow down in time so that it could get the experience and that walk through freedom. And that's what this is about. Someone said, well, I'm in the flesh and I'm trapped in this body and I'm limited and I'm this and I'm that. Well, I think about that and I think to myself, you know, if I were somewhere and all I had was a bunch of knowledge, that's when I would feel trapped. And that's when I would feel like I'd like to get out of it. And that is exactly what we were in the theophany. We were a knowledgeable being, but without any experience. Now there's that theophany said, I want to get into something. I want to make something. I want to bring an attribute out of me, or I want to bring a dimension out of me that I can step into and feel and have emotion and have love and have all of these things, empathy and compassion. And I want to be able to have all of this. And so the theophany began to slow down time until it broke into matter. And when it broke into matter, it wasn't a different person. It's still just you. And you just happen to be, part of you happens to be in a slow enough dimension that you're manifesting it. And eventually, you'll keep speeding back up until you ascend that ladder and take this off. It doesn't make you a different person. It just makes you a person who has a different mix of a body. So we see these things going on all around us. And there can't be a physical without a spiritual. Natural is the theophany. The seed, the bare grain that came naturally, that was the theophany. And where did it get planted? Into the earth. Where does any seed get planted? Into the earth. Whether it's a male putting his seed into a female, that's the earth. Whether it's a seed of corn that you plant into the earth, no matter what you do, all seeds get planted into the earth. All theophanies get planted into the earth. And then it goes through a death, burial, and resurrection, and it begins to bring new life in that earth. And when it brings new life, your ascension begins, and things begin to speed up, and you begin to take on all that experience that you had. You begin to take all of that, and you store it and put it into your subconscious, which is your theophany, and your consciousness is this flesh man, and conscience is the dominant one that's here now, and subconscious is the one that remembers all things and is pulling in all things. And when you go through this and get this understanding, the theophany is the logos, and the body is the earth, and the logos enters the earth and begins to live in it. Now, the last shall be first, and the first last. That's what many of them said. So humans, they're the natural is first, and then that which is spiritual. So where do we move to? We move from a natural condition in the theophany realms to a spiritual condition in the earth realms. And we're saying this earth is a horrible place. It's a nasty place. It's a dirty place. It's a place where we're limited. It's a place where we can't seem to do what we want to do. And I was thinking about that too, you know. Paul in Romans 7, he makes a statement. And he says, the things that I would do, I do not. But the things that I would not do, that I find myself doing. So we see that when we look at that, we immediately begin to say, yeah, that's right, I'm trapped in here, and there's only one way for me to get out, and that's death, and death is an open door. Well, that's all good, and I'm not saying any of that's wrong. But let's go a little further in our thinking. And let's look at it like this, that the things that I would do, the things that I did while I was in my theophany, I cannot do. And the things that I would do when I was in my theophany, the things that I would do, I do not. And then Paul goes on to say, it's no longer me, but it's just missing the mark is all it is. And we come here, I know that this is going to sound a little crazy, but we come here to miss the mark. We came here so that we could understand and miss the mark and still know we're eternal. Still know that this great understanding that we have, that this is a beautiful place. This is the walk of freedom. You keep crying, I want to be free, I want to be free. This is it. This is the walk of freedom. When you step into the flesh, it opens up the theophany, the logic mind, to be able to gather into its subconscious all that understanding, all of that experience, all of the things that happen to you. And as you gather that into your subconscious or into your theophany, then after so long, you begin to dwell more in the subconscious than you do in the conscience, because everything you're doing is related to something in your subconscious, and you find yourself doing that every day. You know, this place I got to go to, this thing I got to do, this person I got to see, this, and you have them. The only reason that's all in your mind is subconscious. You built that relationship with that person, with that place, or with that thing. It's a subconscious thing. The conscience just gathers the experience, the moment, the present. The subconscious stores it away. Now, there's a scripture that plainly says that, you know, there's going to come a time when he's going to wipe the tears away from your eyes, and you're going to remember no more the pain, you know, and everybody's waiting on that time. Well, I don't think it exactly means that. If you read, what, I guess the big question is, why in the world would you and us and the Spirit put us through all this and then have us forget it and say, you remember it no more? I don't think it means that. When I look at that, what it's saying to me is that I won't remember it the way in which I took on hatred and anger and envy and strife and tears and jealousy and all these kinds of things. The subconscious is holding that. And then what we do is we go into that subconscious. And when we go into that subconscious, we correct it. And we move the hate out. We move the jealousy out. We move the death out. We move all those things out. And we look at everything that we did. We look at it through revelation. if there's a death, it was by revelation and it did something for me. If there was hatred, it was by revelation and it did something for me. So you substitute or you put into your subconscious that all of these experiences were great and they were exactly what you needed to walk through this world and to walk the freedom walk and to be set free of just logic. Talk about a prison. If all that you had was just logic and no experience, you had a logic of what children was, but you never had any children. You had a logic of what water tasted like, but you never tasted any water. You had a logic of what love was like, but you never fell in love. That would be a terrible life to live. And that's where we were at. And we came here to be set free. Oh, I know it's backwards. I know everybody, they always tell me, so Brother Parnell, it seems like your message is so backwards to everybody else's. They think we got to go there to be free. And I'm saying, here's where we are free. We get all of these great understandings and great revelation. We correct our subconscious. We put everything in there that this floods us with all of the wonderful things of life. This is a beautiful place to be. Louis Armstrong, he sung it right. You know, what a beautiful place. What a beautiful thing that this earth is. And we are in it. And we are recording and putting on all the logic in a world of understanding, which means so much more. Now, where we're at, the physical dominates us at birth. That's because when we were in the spiritual, we descended on that ladder, and slow but sure, we moved down into a physical, and you were a 5, 6, 7, 8 pound little baby boy, came out of your mother's womb, and from that time until the time that whenever it is that mind that you have, that Holy Spirit that you have, keeps speeding you up until you disappear out of here or until you ascend back up the ladder. So, and that might happen to you at 90 or 100, 120 or 30 or 40. Very sad thing just happened. Brother Estrada, his grandson passed away at 13, and all pray for their family. It's always a sad thing. Even though you know they're going to be okay, it's always a sad thing. So you never know when it's going to happen that physical is going to change dimension. And all you're doing is you're moving back up the ladder. You don't become a different person. You don't put on a different soul. You don't put on a different body. You carry the same body. Your body is eternal. It's always been. And you carry that body and you just change mixes. And you go up that ladder until you change the frequency, the vibration, and the mix enough that you disappear. And so we see this. We can do anything. I wrote this down. Physical dominates us at birth. Therefore, we try to trap ourselves in the physical. But we can do anything in its season. Jesus was very clear. Say to this mountain. He didn't say, I'll say to this mountain for you and it will be moved. He said, you say to this mountain, be moved and cast into the sea and it'll happen. We can do anything in its season. Our physical person is not limited. It has everything it needs. It has the cognizance. It has the skills. It has the understanding. It has the cells. It has the immune system. It has the respiratory. It has everything that it needs to gain everything that it needs to have a perfect understanding. This is a great walk of freedom that we're in. Stop looking like, oh, I'm going to be free one day. The moment you come out of your mother's womb, your freedom started. You moved out of the logic into understanding, into a spiritual world, and you keep moving forward. So we see this now. The theophany is the seed that goes into the flesh. And that seed slows down some frequencies, to where you're walking in it. And the Logos is, it finds a world of freedom. At first, it's kind of afraid. Don't do this. Don't do that. Look out for that. Look out for that dog. Look out for this. Look out for that. And you're scared. You're afraid. It's not your flesh. You're just a child. But the theophany had a logic of what a dog was like. So it was scared of it. The theophany had a logic of what a pig was like, or what a elephant was like, or it had all of that in it. But the first time you stood in front of that gorilla at the zoo, or you stood, it scared you. You backed off. It said, "Get away, back off, be careful." See, that was that theophany. But as logic came and understanding came, and you begin to look, and you thought a dog is a very good pet. A zoo is where the gorilla belongs, and it needs to be behind those bars, and it's just fine. He's behind bars. You don't have to worry about it. And you kind of, you begin to grow into the understanding that you only had logic about. The reason we're so scared to death, of death, is because the theophany doesn't want to die. And it absolutely does not want to die. Jesus begged there in Gethsemane. He didn't want to die. So it's all about the way the theophany thought of logic. But now we understand death. We're not the least bit afraid of death. We know what's going on. We know it's an ascension up the ladder. We know it is a switch in frequency and mix and vibration, and we know that we're going to be the same person, and we're going to keep moving through whatever is next for us, and we're going to do it right here. We're all together. We're all in it together. We all love one another. So we see this going on. Now, we think we're trapped in the flesh, but no, that's not it. We are not trapped in this flesh. We come into this flesh to find freedom. We came into this flesh. The church age thinking is limited to the physical. But now listen to me. Jesus had a physical body, and he could raise the dead, cast out devils, heal the sick, preach the gospel, lays it. He said, "No man takes my life." That's what Jesus said. He said, "I lay it down of myself and I pick it up again." You have that power. Your physical body, when you're here and you're in the physical, you are an eternal being in the physical. And the physical, your physical, can't be touched or harmed or destroyed or anything until that eternal being says, "Okay, let's step out of this." And he begins to make his ascension back up the ladder. And when he steps out of it, then that physical goes back to the earth. Just like Mount Horeb. The Lord told Moses, he said, "Come up here on Mount Horeb. And when you come up here," he said, "take your shoes off, for you're on holy ground." Now, Moses took his shoes off. He went up there. He looked at the pillar of fire. He looked at himself. He understood what he's supposed to do. He got an understanding of where to go and what to do. And he left off that mountain. And today, there's scorpions, there's lizards, there's people living on it. If you want to look at it in that way, it's the most unholy. They're unholy. They don't take their shoes off or nothing. They walk right across Mount Horeb like it's nothing. Why? In season, the Lord said, anything that touches this mountain will die. Animal, man, or anything else, Moses is the only one that can come up here in season. And then the season was finished, and anybody could go across it. Anybody could walk on it. I'm telling you, the physical has seasons that we go by. And when we hit a season, whether it's a dispensation or whether it's a change, whether it's a resurrection, when we hit that season, our physical body is exactly in line to do everything that it can do. It can disappear like Phillips did and went 200 miles away after the baptism of the eunuch. It can disappear like Jesus did in rooms and went to other places back and forth. He was seen on the road to Emmaus. He was seen in the room by Thomas and the brethren. He disappeared when the Pharisees were after him. It said he disappeared. They couldn't find him. Why? It was in season. Now listen to me. We are in a season of resurrection. Matthew 22, we're in a season of resurrection. And in this season, we can do these things. We can bring people to life. We can bring ourselves to life. We can lay our life down and we can take it up again. You say, oh, how, Brother Parnell? How many times have you died? How many times have you stepped out of one thing into another, laid your life down and picked it up again and said, I'm going to go this route. I'm going to go that route. You are doing it all the time. And if you needed to lay it down physically and pick it up again, you would. If the need is there, that's what the third pull is all about. So we see these things going on all around us. Now, the church age thinking is limited just to the physical. But Jesus was not limited after the resurrection in the physical at all. And we have come to the resurrection. Rising of the sun. What a resurrection, William Branham said. Things that are to be. Where you see a tree dying, there is a resurrection going on, and there's a tree there that is alive. Listen to me, we are in the resurrection. When those seals opened, he said Jesus resurrected from the dead again in his message on the future home. Here we have a resurrection on the scene, and we have yet to take full responsibility and say, I can do these things in the resurrection. I can do these things. I can move these mountains. I can do this. I can raise up. I can bring other people up from the dead. Raising the little woman's child, raising the daughter's child, Jairus, raising on and on and on. Jesus could do that because it was in the season. And we're in the season of the resurrection right now. We are in it. Romans 7. The things that I would do in the theophany, I don't do them now. I had a bunch of logic back there and I tried to live by it, but I don't do that now. Now I live, I walk, and I talk by experience, by revelation, by understanding, and not by a bunch of logic, not by a bunch of books, not by a bunch of church creeds or dogmas or anything else. When we come to this point in Romans 7, what do? We unlock our minds. That's what this is about. Your physical being, your physical body is controlled by the mind. You unlock your mind, you open up your heart, and you begin to use those things to do what needs to be done in the season that you're in. Unlocking our minds from the traditional logos. The traditional logos that said, you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to pay your tithes, you have to go to this assembly, you have to listen to this pastor, on and on and on. You have to follow these rules, creeds, and dogmas, and you can't do this with your hair, and you can't do this with your body, and you can't do it. All of these rules and regulations and everything else, let's unlock our minds and move away from the traditional logos, the traditional thinking of the logos, and let's look at the experience we're having. Let's live with the experience we're having. Let's pay attention to what is going on in your experiential life. And in all of those things, you can begin to build a body and a character that is human. That's what this is about. We moved into humanity so that we could carry it on with us in eternity. And all of us are wanting to try to put it off. We're wanting to try to put it aside. I don't want this humanity. I don't want this and that. I don't want to be like the world. I don't want to. We came here so that we could put on this part of our attribute and our dimensional life so that we could enjoy life better and enhance life more by understanding and experience than by the logic of the world before us. That's what this is about. So we see just one more thing. The subconscious collects experiences of all things. We have to go back in our subconscious. Listen to me. Your subconscious is your theophany. It is the logic. And you're putting experience into that subconscious all the time. Now, if you put an experience of hate in there, that's going to lay in your subconscious. And it's going to bother you. You're going to hate that person. And you may hate two or three others just because they like him or her. See, and you put that hate in there. Now, what do? We have the understanding now to be able to go in and cast out that hatred, that envy, that jealousy, whatever it is that you're storing inside you, you cast that out and you replace it with revelation. You say, no, if it hadn't been for that person in my life, I'd have never understood this and this and this. And you begin to realize that everything that's happening to you is exactly what was supposed to happen. And you take that incorrect feeling and emotion that you fed the subconscious with, you move in there and you correct it. And you say, I don't hate that brother. I don't hate that boss. I don't hate that policeman. I don't hate whoever it is. I don't hate them. This was an experience for me and I love them. My love is for them and I hope they prosper no matter what they did to me. And you correct that subconscious, or you correct that theophany being, so that when you come to the end of your road, so to speak, in this body, in this mix, and you move over, you have that logic that's filled with understanding of what all those things are. When we can do this, go back in your logic and fill it up with understanding. Search for understanding as to why this happened to you or why that happened to you. Why you grew up in a horrible home. Why you got beat by your dad. Why your mom left you. Why? Go back and just say and look and see how many things that taught you. And then forget about hating the person. Forgive them and love them and move on, and that will correct that theophany logic thinking for throughout eternity. Go back on your experiences and correct and realign the subconscious. Adjust your sight to the revelation. Adjust your subconscious. Our present conscience can realign our subconscious. You don't have to leave things laying in there. You know, someone said, fourth dimension is a record, which the fourth dimension is a part of that subconscious. Yes, it is a record. But you know what you have in you, the Holy Spirit? You have an eraser. And you can go in there and you can erase this out and you can erase that out and you can put the correct wording. You can put the correct feeling and you can put the correct theophany. You can put the correct logic and all those things in there and change your very feeling and empathy and love and compassion and everything. You can change it all because you are an eternal being and you are a creator. Create yourself. Eat and make your body. That's what the prophet said to do in Future Home. Eat and make your body. Eat off of these great things. And make your body. Build your character. Build who you are. That's what this is about. I hope this has helped. I just wanted to go through a few things to help us see what's presently going on in our life and what you can do to change things, what you can do to make things work for you, what you can do to make yourself feel better. You can make yourself, you can have a better understanding. You can have a greater relationship with yourself and with everyone around you if you go in and you correct those things I'm talking about, whatever they might be in your life. Just go in, correct them, love one another, and when things come up, make sure and feed the subconscious with those things. And when you know that you haven't, and you held that hatred and you held that malice against that person, go in and correct your subconscious and take that malice and hatred and envy and strife, pull it out, drain it out, and fill it full of love and understanding. And know that every person that you meet in your life and comes across your path, every person, every animal, every being, everything, every plant, every tree, know that it is a part of you, and fall in love with this world. This is a walk through freedom. This is the greatest walk through freedom that we have ever had, as far as I'm concerned. It's greater than the spoken word body. It's greater than all those things. I love you. Love, bless, and I hope these things have helped you. Amen.